Rays of yellow light burst out over a sea as the sun rises behind the image of a Roman chariot pulled by four rearing horses, the logo of Capella. Capella International and KC Median presents, in association with New Line Cinema, a moving pictures Eric's Boy production. A bleak, rocky landscape, 1967, somewhere outside Las Vegas. A bald man sits at the end of a huge conference table stroking a long-haired white cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair. I have gathered here before me the world's deadliest assassins. And yet, each of you has failed to kill Austin Powers. That makes me angry. And when Dr. Evil gets angry, Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset. And when Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset, people die!
He presses a button labeled Jürgen. A man's flipped backwards off his chair and engulfed in flames. Another button.
Why must I be surrounded by frickin' idiots?
Two others disappear into the flames.
Mustafa, Frau Farbissina, I spared your lives because I need you to help me rid the world of Britain's top secret agent, the only man who can stop me now. We must kill Austin Powers!
London, England. A man in a bright blue striped suit boogies down a street. He wears a buck-toothed smile and large NHS specs. He revels in other people's adulation as he struts and poses amongst the crowd. Brightly coloured miniskirts, floral shirts, knee-length boots and Union Jacks abound. Mike Myers as Austin Powers, international man of mystery. With Elizabeth Hurley, Michael York, Mimi Rogers, Robert Wagner and Seth Green. Music by George S. Clinton, directed by Jay Roach. A policeman walks sternly up to him. Austin stops his jiving momentarily. Then the policeman gets down. Austin stops and camera in hand takes pictures of three models.
Come on babies, work with me people, all right. Show me love. Great baby, yeah!
One struts.
Obi, hey!
A large crowd of women chases him. He hides in a phone box, cunningly disguised with a false beard. The crowd runs past. The crowd runs by three people reading copies of Fab, Austin's picture on the front. Two women look up from their copies. They get up and run after the crowd. The third person lowers his copy. It's Austin. The crowd spots him and he dashes away. The manic swarm of fans surges around a corner, watched by a bemused beefeater and a London bobby. Austin comes back round the corner, now leading a brass band, a prancing drum major. The policeman, forgetting himself, somersaults across the road. Dancers appear from all sides, joining Austin, pelvic thrusting head, nodding arm, strutting jive, walking cool, looking high, kicking sexy. An open-top E-type Jag in Union Jack colours stops. Austin somersaults over the boot, landing perfectly in the passenger seat. He smiles at the attractive brunette driver.
Hello, Mrs. Kensington.
Hello, Austin.
Why don't you ever model for me, Mrs. Kensington?
You know how Mr. Kensington feels about that.
Oh, behave. Yeah. Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Oh! The glove compartment flops open, revealing a screen.
Hello, Austin. I'm Basil Exposition with British Intelligence. We have just received word that Dr. Evil is planning a trap for you tonight at the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club here in swinging London.
We'll be there.
Piccadilly Circus by night. A huge plastic statue of a boy holding up a burger on top of one of the buildings. The entrance to the club is on the street below. The E-Type pulls up outside, and Austin, in blue velvet suit and frilly cuffed shirt, leaps out. He and the leather catsuit-clad Mrs. Kensington go inside and stand on a balcony overlooking the gyrating mass of people on the floor.
Austin, it's a swinging shitty!
It's my happening, baby, and it freaks me out! Yeah!
Now on the dance floor, Austin shakes his stuff next to a woman in a gold tassely bra top and hot pants. A man in a blonde Andy Warhol wig strokes the knee of a woman lying on the floor in a black and white striped catsuit, which camouflages her against the stripy floor. A woman in a multicolored plastic mini dress approaches Austin.
Can I get you a drink, Mr. Powell?
Sure.
Austin, we've got to look for Dr. Evil.
Wait. I've got an idea.
Austin, why on earth did you hit that woman?
Right, let me show you, baby.
He picks the woman up.
That ain't no woman. It's a man, man.
He pulls off a wig.
It's one of Dr. Evil's assassins.
The man gets up.
Yeah, he's got a knife!
Mrs. Kensington lays him out with a series of karate blows.
Good work, Mrs. Kensington. All right, get up! Get up! Right, where's Dr. Evil, huh? Where is he?
A harpoon hits the man in the back.
There's the bastard!
Dr. Evil clambers away.
Oh, let's go.
Austin and Mrs. Kensington climb the stairs, small silver pistols at the ready. They reach a long room.
I've got you now, Dr. Evil.
Not this time. Come, Mr. Bigglesworth! See you in the future, Mr. Powers.
The doors of a grey egg-shaped container shut.
My God! He's freezing himself!
Words on the door read, cryogenic freezing beginning. Austin and Mrs. Kensington rush towards the pod, firing as it slowly rises through a hole in the ceiling. Outside, the rooftop statue wearing a t-shirt reading Big Boy rises into the air, propelled by rocket engines.
And so Dr. Evil escaped and had himself cryogenically frozen to return at a time when free love no longer reigned and greed and corruption ruled again.
1997, 30 years later, the Big Boy, now orbiting the Earth, fires its rockets and starts its re-entry into the atmosphere. NORAD Combat Operations Center, Colorado Springs, Colorado. In the satellite tracking room, a bald army official makes a call.
Yes?
Commander Gilmore?
Speaking.
Commander, this is Ritter in Southwest Comm 3. We have a potential bogey with erratic vectoring and unorthodox entry angle.
What are you saying, son?
Well, it appears to be in the shape of a Big Boy.
Good God. He's back.
Well, in many ways, the Big Boy never left, sir. He's always offered the same high-quality meals at competitive prices. Shut up. Shall I scramble TAC HQ for an intercept?
What's its current position?
Well, I'm presently tracking it over Nevada. Oh, my God. The Big Boy's gone.
Listen, son. I want you to forget what you saw here today.
He makes a call.
Phillips, call the president.
Sir.
Prepare the jet, bring my overnight bag, and,
Phillips, eat my fish. Not too much.
I'm off to London, England.
London, England. A frozen storage area in the Ministry of Defense.
Powers volunteered to have himself frozen in case Dr. Evil should ever return.
Well, I hope your boy's up to it. We don't want to have to bail you guys out again like after WW2.
This is our celebrity vault.
They enter the cryogenic storage facility and walk past glass-fronted cubicles, foaming with liquid nitrogen vapor, bodies visible inside each one labeled Gary Coleman, Evil Knievel, and Vanilla Ice. The last one contains a naked Austin.
Please.
So who is this Austin Powers?
The ultimate gentleman spy. Irresistible to women, deadly to his enemies, a legend in his own time.
Attention, stage one. Laser cutting begins.
Two men with laser cutters slice the container vertically in half.
Laser cutting complete.
The back of the container is removed, exposing Austin's naked backside, his chest, complete with thick mass of T-shaped chest hair, still embedded in ice and visible through the frosted front.
Stage two. Warm liquid goo phase beginning.
The container is lowered into a vat of sticky red liquid.
Warm liquid goo phase complete. Stage 3. Reanimation beginning. Reanimation complete.
Austin is raised from the gloop. He sits up and looks around with a gawky grin. Now standing, he's on a conveyor belt.
Stage 4. Cleansing beginning.
Basil Exposition and Commander Gilmore watch, along with another military man.
Cleansing complete.
The showerheads swing away and two men in white coats help the dazed Austin back onto the conveyor belt. A bank of hairdryers rises. Austin stands buffeted by the hot air and then moves along on the conveyor belt once more, his hair, both chest and head, now rakishly bouffant in style. The men in white turn him round to face a toilet.
Stage 5. Evacuation beginning.
Basil pulls out a fob watch and then turns and nods to Gilmore.
Evacuation complete. Evacuation complete. Complete. Evacuation complete.
He comes to in a medical room.
Where am I?
You're in the Ministry of Defense. It's 1997. You've been cryogenically frozen for 30 years.
Who are these people?
The shouting is a temporary side effect of the unfreezing process.
Yes, I'm having difficulty controlling the volume of my voice!
This is Commander Gilmore, U.S. Strategic Command, and General Borshevsky, Russian intelligence.
Russian intelligence? Are you mad?
A lot's happened since you were frozen. The Cold War's over.
Well, finally those capitalist pigs will pay for their crimes, eh? Hey, comrades? Hey?
Austin, we won.
Oh, groovy, smashing. Yay, capitalism.
Hello. Hello.
Mr. Powers, the President's quite con...
When do I begin?
Immediately. You'll be working with Miss Kensington.
Mrs. Kensington?
Austin, Mrs. Kensington has long since retired. Miss Kensington is her daughter. Ah, here she is.
A leggy brunette walks in.
Vanessa is one of our top agents.
Austin shakes his head in wonderment at the beautiful, bespectacled agent.
My God, Vanessa's got a fabulous body. I bet she shines like a minx.
Basil winces.
How do I tell them that because of the unfreezing process I have no inner monologue? I hope I didn't say that out loud just now.
He gives a huge toothy grin.
Mr. Powers, my job is to acclimatize you to the 90s. You know, a lot's changed since 1967.
No doubt, love, but as long as people are still having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection, while at the same time experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment, I'll be sound as a pound.
Well, Agent Kensington will get you all set up. She's extremely dedicated. So, Austin, good luck. The world's depending on you.
Thanks, Exposition.
Oh, and Austin?
Yes.
Be careful.
Thanks.
Basil goes out. Vanessa accompanies Austin to collect his things.
Danger Powers, personal effects.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers.
It says your name, Danger Powers.
No.
He looks at Vanessa.
Danger's my middle name.
Okay, Austin Danger Powers. One blue crushed velvet suit.
Hey, all right.
One frilly lace cravat.
There it is.
One silver medallion with male symbol. One pair of Italian boots.
Buongiorno, boys.
One vinyl record album, Burt Bacharach plays his hits.
Hey, bro, how are you?
One Swedish-made penis enlarger pump.
Austin turns in shock.
That's not mine.
One credit card receipt for Swedish-made penis enlarger, signed by Austin Powers.
I'm telling you, baby, that's not mine.
One warranty card for Swedish-made penis enlarger pump, filled out by Austin Powers.
I don't even know what this is. This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
One book, Swedish-made penis enlarger pumps, and me. This sort of thing is my bag, baby, by Austin Powers.
Ah.
Just sign the form.
Okay, don't get heavy, man. I'll sign him just to get things moving, you know. You all right, baby?
Listen, Mr. Powers. I look forward to working with you, but do me a favor and stop calling me baby. You can address me as Agent Kensington.
Oh, come on.
He sidles up to her.
All right then, Vanessa.
Was that so hard?
Now come along, we have to leave immediately. We preserved your private jet just as you left it. It's waiting at Heathrow Airport.
My jumbo jet! Smashing baby! Ooh, sorry.
Mr. Powers.
The man behind the desk holds up the penis enlarger.
Quickly. Quickly, come on now, let's go.
Austin collects the pump and scampers off. Images of Austin fronting a 60s pop group. We're outside Las Vegas. A sign reads, VirtueCon, keep out.
Gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair. It's been 30 years, but I'm back. Everything's gone perfectly to plan except for one small flaw. Due to a technical error by my henchman Mustafa, complications arose in the unfreezing process.
But my design was perfect.
Look what you did to Mr. Bigglesworth!
The cat has no fur.
But Dr. Evil, we were unable to anticipate feline complications due to the reanimation process.
Silence!
Dr. Evil presses a button marked Mustafa.
Let this be a reminder to you all that this organization will not tolerate failure.
Dr. Evil looks at the smoking floor grate.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business. We've got a lot of work to do.
Someone help me! I'm still alive, only I'm very badly burned.
Some of you I know, some of you I'm meeting for the first time.
Hello there! Anyone? Can someone call an ambulance? I'm in quite a lot of pain.
Okay, you've all been gathered here to form my evil cabinets. Burnt. Badly. Right.
Retrieval hatch down here, I can get out. See, I designed this device myself. Oh, hi. Good. I'm glad you found me. Listen, I'm very badly burned, so if you could just... You shot me.
Okay, moving on.
You shot me right in the arm. Why did...
Dr. Evil listens carefully.
Right. Let me go around the table and introduce everyone. Frau Farbissinen, founder of the militant wing of the Salvation Army. Random task. Korean ex-wrestler, evil handyman extraordinaire. Random task. Show them what you do.
The small bowler-hatted Oriental man removes a shoe and hurls it spinning across the room. It knocks the head off an alabaster bust. Dr. Evil holds his little finger to his mouth in nervous excitement.
Paddy O'Brien, ex-Irish assassin. His trademark, a superstitious man, he leaves a tiny keepsake from his good luck bracelet on every victim he kills. Scotland Yard would love to get their hands on that piece of evidence.
Yes, they're always after me, Lucky Charms.
Frau Bissner and Dr. Evil start to giggle.
What? Why does everyone always laugh when I say that? They are after me, Lucky Charms. What?
It's a television commercial with this cartoon leprechaun. And all of these children are trying to chase him. Hey, leprechaun man, we want to get your Lucky Charms. Oh, and there's all these little tiny bits of marshmallows just stuck right in the cereal so that when the kids eat them, they think, oh, this is candy, I'm having fun.
Paddy furrows his brow in abject confusion.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name? Number two. For 30 years, number two has run VirtueCon, the legitimate face of my evil empire.
A man with an eye patch enters.
Dr. Evil, over the last 30 years, VirtueCon has grown by leaps and bounds. About 15 years ago, we changed from volatile chemicals
to the communications industry.
A U.S. map.
We own cable companies in 38 states. We own a steel mill in Cleveland, shipping in Texas, oil refineries in Seattle, and a factory in Chicago that makes miniature models of factories.
Naturally, yes. Gentlemen.
He beckons to Random Task.
I have a plan.
Random Task takes the cat, along with Dr. Evil's arm pulling him away. Dr. Evil wheels his chair back to the table.
It's called blackmail. As you know, the royal family of Britain are the wealthiest landowners in the world. Either the royal family pays us an exorbitant amount of money, or we make it seem that Prince Charles has had an affair outside of marriage and therefore would have to divorce.
He holds up his little finger.
Prince Charles did have an affair. He admitted it, and they are now divorced.
Right, okay, people, you have to tell me these things, all right? I've been frozen for 30 years, okay? Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info. Okay, no problem. Here's my second plan. Back in the 60s, I developed a weather-changing machine, which was in essence a sophisticated heat beam, which we called a laser. Using these lasers, we punch a hole in the protective layer around the world, which we call the ozone layer. Slowly but surely, ultraviolet rays would pour in, increasing the risk of skin cancer, that is, unless the world pays us a hefty ransom.
He holds his finger to his mouth in excited glee. Number two coughs.
That also already has happened.
Shit. Oh, hell, let's just do what we always do. Hijack some nuclear weapons and hold the world hostage. Yeah? Good. Gentlemen, it's come to my attention that a breakaway Russian republic, Kreplakistan, is about to transfer a nuclear warhead to the United Nations in a few days. Here's the plan. We get the warhead, and we hold the world ransom for $1 million.
Well, don't you think we should maybe ask for more than $1 million? $1 million isn't exactly a lot of money these days. Virtucon alone makes over $9 billion a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money. Okay, then. We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
On the jumbo.
Pretty groovy jumbo jet, eh? When you see this jet of rocket dough, come a knocking, baby. Yeah!
I'm gonna need you to sign these release forms.
Release forms?
Well, yes, you're not officially working for the Ministry of Defense, and these forms indemnify the Ministry against any mishaps that may occur in the line of duty.
Mishaps? But isn't that what being an international man of mystery is all about? Okay, name. Austin Danger Powers. Sex? Yes, please. How does a hot chick like you end up working at the Ministry of Defense?
Oh, well, I went to Oxford, where I excelled in several subjects, but I ended up specializing in foreign languages. You know, I really wanted to travel. You know, sort of see the world.
That's fascinating, Vanessa. Listen, why don't we go in the back and shag?
What?
I've been frozen for 30 years. I've got to see if my bits and pieces are still working.
Excuse me?
My wedding tackle.
I'm sorry.
My meat and two veg, my twig and berries. Hello, lad.
Oh, no, Mr. Powers, please. I'd appreciate it if you could concentrate on our mission and give your libido a rest.
Can I show you something?
He gets up from the zebra-skinned armchair and struts across to a round bed, removing his orange jacket, swaying his green skin-tight trouser-clad legs, and sitting down on the bed. He motions her to sit next to him.
I won't bite. Hard.
Begrudgingly, she gets up and sits next to him.
All right.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Flicking a switch, the bed turns.
Do I make you horny? Randy? Do I make you horny, baby? Yeah, do I?
Come on, I hope this is part of the unfreezing process.
Oh, I fell over again.
Ow! Oh. Mr. Powers!
She escapes.
I will never have sex with you, ever. If you were the last man on Earth and I was the last woman on Earth, and the future of the human race depended on our having sex simply for procreation, I still would not have sex with you.
What's your point, Vanessa?
Grimacing, she slumps back down on the sofa. Austin switches the music and the bed back on and continues with his provocative rotating display. She turns to look at him. Turning away, an amused smile creeps across her face.
Remember when we froze your semen? You said if it didn't look like you were coming back, we should try to make you a son so that a part of you could live forever.
Oh, sure.
Well, after a couple of years, we got a little impatient. Dr. Evil, I want you to meet your son.
My son?
Yeah. Scott!
A red-haired lad of about 16 walks in. Dr. Evil stands up stiffly.
Hello, Scott.
Hi.
I'm your father, Dr. Evil.
He gives Scott a baby-faced smile.
I haven't seen you my whole life, and now you come back and just expect a relationship? I hate you.
Dr. Evil beckons him with outstretched arms and a pleading face.
What? Could I have a hug?
No.
Give me a hug.
No way.
Come here.
I'm not coming over there.
Let's go.
Forget it.
Toronto.
What are you doing?
I'm with it. I'm hip.
Dr. Evil, in his grey, stiffly pressed tunic, bobs up and down, moving his arms and swaying his pelvis in an attempt at the Macarena dance. He holds out his hands again.
Well, don't look at me like I'm frickin' Frankenstein. Give your father a hug.
Hey, don't touch me!
Scott dashes away from his father.
You lazy-eyed psycho!
Austin's jumbo touches down in Las Vegas, the setting sun tinting the sky dark orange, the bustling brightly lit streets of the city, the Mirage Casino, a fire display outside. Vanessa drives the E-Type through the streets, the word swinger painted on the back.
Viva Las Vegas, baby, yeah!
They speed along past the gaudy illuminations and stop outside the entrance to a hotel.
Las Vegas, sir.
They walk into the bedroom of a smart suite.
So, which side of the bed do you want?
You're sleeping on the sofa, Mr. Powers. In fact, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that the only reason we're sharing a room is to keep up the context that we're a married couple on vacation.
Right. Shall we shag now or shall we shag later? How do you like to do it? Do you like to wash up first? You know, top and tails, whore's bath. Personally, before I'm on the job, I like to give my undercarriage a bit of a how's your father.
She looks away in disgust.
I'm just joking, Vanessa. I'm just trying to get a rise out of you, that's all, for shits and giggles.
Let's unpack.
She smiles and unzips her case. Each item of clothing inside is sealed in a plastic bag stuck with a label.
Oh, blimey. Nerd alert!
From his case, he takes out a small silver pistol, which he looks at affectionately and kisses. She unpacks a much larger self-loading pistol and inserts a magazine. His face falls. Absent-mindedly, he picks up the penis enlarger.
How did this get in here? Somebody's playing a prank on me. Honestly, it's not mine.
In the casino...
Hey, American! Yeah! Enjoy that wine! Hey, there you are!
Well, hi, do I know you?
No, but that's where you are. You're there. Hey, viva Las Vegas, baby! Hey!
Okay, Austin? Austin, there's a company in Las Vegas called Virtucon, which we think may be linked to Dr. Evil. Plenty of the Virtucon executives are gambling in this casino.
Smashing. Let's go.
Look, there's one over there.
Changing 1,000?
Hello. Excuse me.
They walk to a blackjack table. Number 2 looks up.
Do you mind if I join you?
Not at all.
An attractive brunette's with him.
Game is blackjack, gentlemen. $10,000 minimum bet. King for you, sir, and a 3 for you.
The croupier puts a 7 on number 2's king.
17.
Number 2 uses his eye patch X-ray vision to see that the next card in the shoe is the 4 of clubs.
Hit me.
You have 17, sir.
I like to live dangerously.
He looks across at Austin. The card is turned over.
4. 21.
Austin claps with a superior smile. His next card is turned.
5.
Austin stares at the croupier.
I'll stay. I suggest you hit, sir.
Austin turns to look at number 2.
I also like to live dangerously.
As you wish, sir.
The bank's cards are turned.
20 beats your 5. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, I won't lie to you. Cards are not my bag, baby. Allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Richie Cunningham, and this is my wife, Oprah.
Vanessa blanches.
My name is Number Two. This is my Italian confidential secretary. Her name is Alotta. Alotta for China.
Austin gulps.
Come again.
A lot of vagina.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just not getting it. It sounded like you said your name was a lot of, Never mind.
He turns to Vanessa and smirks.
What exactly do you do, Mr. Number Two?
That's my business. Oh. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go to the little boy's room.
Number Two gets up.
You keep your eye on the Italian bird. We'll rendezvous back at the hotel suite.
Number Two, in his white dinner jacket and black bow tie, turns to look around at the crowds on his way to the men's room. Austin, in red crushed velvet suit, white frilly ruffed shirt, and male symbol medallion around his neck, follows. A blind attendant in dark glasses sits inside.
You didn't happen to see anything at all?
Sorry.
Austin smiles apologetically and wanders over to the wash basins. He takes a bottle of talcum powder and, looking suspiciously around, tips cloudy mounds of the white powder into his hand.
Howdy!
A large man in white cowboy gear bursts in and stands next to Austin.
Woo! That is one crazy get-up you got there, fella.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you in the show?
No, actually, I'm English.
Austin turns and heads into a cubicle, where he sits down on the toilet in his white dusted jacket. The other man takes his seat in the next door cubicle.
Hey, partner. Have a good one.
Okay.
A hatch opens in the wall behind Austin's head, and Paddy O'Brien leans carefully through, his Lucky Charm bracelet stretched between his hands. Austin looks up just as Paddy slips the bracelet around his neck. The cowboy man's perturbed and looks under the partition to see Austin's dancing feet, his trousers around his ankles.
Hey, partner, come on, you gotta relax. Don't force it. Get a blow out your O-ring. Drop a lung.
Paddy yanks Austin up. The cowboy whistles awkwardly. Austin stands abruptly. Pulling the dazed Paddy through the hatch, he shoves his head into the pan.
Who does Number Two work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd who's boss. Hey, just grab a hold of something, bite your lip, and give it hell. Come on. We're gonna get through this. Hey, that sounds pretty nasty. How about a courtesy flush over there?
Paddy falls limp, Lucky Charms spilling onto the floor. Austin struts to the sinks. The cowboy looks in at Paddy headfirst down the pan.
Jesus Christ, boy! What did you eat?
Austin and his band, a scantily clad woman playfully slapping his backside. Dr. Evil presses a button to open a screen showing a warhead being transported.
Gentlemen, the warhead is ours. Patch me through to the United Nations Security Secret Meeting Room.
He appears on a screen.
Gentlemen, my name is Dr. Evil. In a little while, you'll notice that the Kreplakistani warhead has gone missing. If you want it back, you're going to have to pay me $1 million.
He turns to look at Number Two, and then back to the screen.
Sorry. $100 billion.
Gentlemen, silence.
Now, Mr. Evil.
Dr. Evil, I didn't spend 6 years in Evil Medical School to be called Mr. Thank you very much.
It is the policy of the United Nations not to negotiate with terrorists.
Really? So long.
The screen goes blank.
Gentlemen, in exactly 5 days, we will be $100 billion richer.
With each roar of evil laughter, the others join in, waiting for their cue.
Ha 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 ha
Hello, Mummy?
Oh, hello, Vanessa. And how's Austin?
He's asleep.
You didn't. Oh, God, no.
As they chat, a naked Austin gets up from the sofa in the room behind. As he stretches and wanders around the living room, his vital bits are covered by well-placed items, absent-mindedly held by Vanessa.
Well, God knows he tried, Mummy. I actually had to be rather firm with him.
Her arm covers his first bleary steps, her drooping finger now accurately in place. And now she holds a photo of Dr. Evil, his finger to his mouth.
In Britain, in the 60s, you could be a sex symbol and still have bad teeth. It didn't matter.
I don't get that, Mummy. Once Austin has you in his charms, it's impossible to get out.
Did you ever? Me? No, of course not.
Now Vanessa holds a magnifying glass. As Austin stretches his arms and starts to do slow squats, the magnifying glass moves accordingly.
He's handsome, witty, has a knowledge of fine wines. Sophisticated. A world-renowned photographer.
Women want him, and men want to be him.
Austin walks into the bedroom to join Vanessa at the breakfast table. He decides to bring a champagne bottle with him, strategically placed, of course. She pours tea, lifting the pot high, as Austin raises the bottle to his lips. In perfect synchrony, the teapot's lowered, as is the bottle.
I will always love him.
Vanessa bites a sausage. Austin in side view behind
it. Don't speak to him. No, it's been too long.
Okay, well, no, I'm going to have to go, Mummy, but I love you.
Ciao, darling.
A tall office block, Virtucon Worldwide Headquarters. Austin and Vanessa hide in bushes outside.
A limo's just pulled up.
Let me see.
Austin lifts up a camera with a huge zoom lens.
That's Dr. Evil's cat.
How can you tell?
I never forget a pussy.
Random task carries the cat to the car.
Cat.
The car drives off. Vanessa looks through tiny binoculars.
Oh no, he's got away.
Austin puts down his enormous camera and stares at her.
My God, Vanessa. You are so incredibly beautiful.
He lifts up the camera.
That's it. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, darling. I'm going to take you out for a night on the town.
A candlelit dinner on an open-topped bus. Austin pours champagne as the neon lights of the city pass by in the background.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burt Bacharach.
What the world needs now.
Bert's at the piano at the other end of the bus.
No, not just for some, but everyone.
Austin and Vanessa dance. Dancing side by side, Austin points out landmarks. Vanessa smiles, clearly enjoying herself. Austin pretends to take photos of her. Clips of their night out, a jackpot on a fruit machine. Names of clubs flash: Hacienda, Sahara, Algiers Hotel, Caesar's Palace. Playing cards, Austin's face on the jack of clubs. Back in their suite, Austin's backside's visible, sticking up over the top of the sofa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go on, Austin, get on with her.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, go on!
Do you want me to do it?
Yes!
Okay. He spins a twister wheel.
Right hand's green! Oh, no!
Entwined, they fall off the playing mat.
You all right? All right.
Oh, you know what? Wait a tick, I forgot something in the lobby.
He stands behind the sofa.
Why don't I take the stairs?
He walks along, sinking lower, as if he's going downstairs.
Why take the stairs when I could take the escalator?
He sinks down more smoothly.
Why take the escalator when I've got a perfectly good canoe?
He paddles along, looking round.
I know what. I'll take the elevator.
He sinks slowly down, looking at his watch.
Austin?
Yes?
She leaps onto the bed.
Come have some champagne with me.
Okay.
Austin dashes to the bed.
Oh, I tripped. Oh.
You know, I haven't had this much fun since college.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm sorry that bug up your ass had to die.
She lies next to him.
Always wanting to have fun.
on, Austin. That's you in a nutshell.
No, this is me in a nutshell. Help! I'm in a nutshell. How did I get into this nutshell? Look at the size of this bloody great big nutshell. What sort of shell has a nut like this? I mean, this is crazy. Yes, look at you. You're smashed.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm a sensible one. I'm always the designated driver.
They gaze into one another's eyes.
Kiss me.
I can't, darling.
Why not?
Because you're drunk. It's not right.
No, I'm not drunk. I'm just beginning to see what my mummy was talking about all those years ago.
I can't.
All right, well, tell me all about my mummy in the 60s. I'm dying to know what she was like.
She snuggles up to him.
She was very groovy. Your dad loved her very much. If there was one other cat in this world that could have loved her and treated her as well as your dad, then it was me. But unfortunately, for yours truly, that train has sailed.
He stares at the ceiling.
Vanessa? Vanessa, hello.
He rolls her over.
Hello.
His hands trapped under her. The laptop rings.
Okay, Austin needs his help.
He finally worms free and opens the laptop.
You've got mail.
Video mail.
Hello, Austin. This is Basil Exposition from British Intelligence. Now, I want you to find out what part Virtucon plays in something called Project Vulcan. I'll need you to go to a lot of vagina's penthouse immediately.
Austin turns the laptop round and shuts it like a book. A lot of vagina's penthouse. Austin's hanging off the fifth floor window lintel outside. He finally succeeds in opening the window and launches himself at the ledge, just managing to cling on and pull himself up and into the room. The room, surrounded by rice paper effect windows and walls, contains neatly arranged furniture. Austin finds a black document case and opens it. He pulls out a Virtucon folder and starts taking photos with a mini camera.
Yes, okay, great.
Flowchart boxes marked human organ trafficking, Carrot Top movie, and
Project Vulcan. Yeah, okay, cheeky, yeah.
A huge drill.
Come on, baby, give it to me. Yes. No.
He puts the folder back. Alotta sweeps back a bead curtain. She stares at Austin sitting in a chair.
You seem surprised to see me, Miss Vagina.
What do you want, Mr. Cunningham, was it?
Please, call me Richie. Miss Vagina, your boss, number two. I understand that cat's involved in big underground drills.
How did you know?
I didn't, baby.
You just told me.
It's for the mining industry, Mr. Cunningham. You know, we can talk about business later. Let me slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
With a seductive swagger, she goes into another room. Her well-endowed figure silhouetted against the translucent window pane, she starts to undress.
Good God!
As she removes a stocking, Austin's hand suddenly grips an ashtray and begins to shake violently. He tries to control his hand as she removes her bra with a large sweep. He gasps. The doors open, revealing a smiling Alotta in a short robe. She slowly beckons to him with her finger. He points at himself and mouths, "Me?" She nods. He looks behind him and then gets up, shaking his head, trying to look nonchalant, and follows her into a room with a hot tub. She lets her robe slide down and steps into the steaming water. He stands gawping.
And I'll show you everything you need to know.
He takes off his red velvet jacket and starts to undo the ruffed shirt, getting the whole lot tangled up with his male symbol medallion. He smiles as he fumbles, eventually freeing the buttons and pulling open the shirt to reveal a thick woolly mass of chest hair. He lowers his head, giving her his best sensual glance, before pulling the rest of the shirt over his head, again getting it stuck. Now free of clothing, he sits down in the tub opposite her.
May I wash you?
Oh, groovy, baby. Yeah.
Flashing his wide-mouthed smile and still wearing his specs, he turns round, allowing her to gently sponge his back. As she does so, she reaches into his jacket pocket and finds a silver case which she opens. Inside is a business card with the male symbol, reading Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
In Japan, men come first and women come second.
Or sometimes not at all.
Care for some sake?
Sake it to me, baby.
She hands him a small blue ceramic sake bowl.
Clinky. Clinky.
He sucks at his drink and shakes his head.
Ooh. Ooh. How do you feel, Mr. Cunningham?
I feel extreme relaxation.
Bubbles appear from under him. He grins sheepishly.
How dare you break wind before me?
I'm sorry, baby, I didn't know it was your turn. Pardon me for being rude, it was not me, it was my food. It just popped up to say hello, and now it's gone back down below.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Austin drains his bowl.
What exactly do you do at Virtucon?
I will tell you all in due time. But first, let's make love, you silly, hairy little man.
I say, hello, Vicar.
As she lies on top of him, his jerking foot shoots out of the water.
That's the spot, all right. That's the spot right there. Look at that now. Well, good God.
Close-ups of pop star Austin, including huge yellowing teeth, in Dr. Evil's lair.
Austin Powers is getting too close. Any suggestions?
Jawohl, Herr Doktor. I have created the ultimate weapon to defeat Austin Powers.
She picks up a remote control.
Ring in the fan box!
A revolving stage slowly turns, revealing three identical blonde babes wearing metal bikinis. Dr. Evil puts his little finger to his mouth in excitement as the fembots peel off short see-through masks and start to parade off the stage.
These are the latest word in android replicant technology. Lethal, efficient, brutal. No man can resist their charm. Send in the guards!
Five guards hurry in and face the fembots.
Kill these women!
The guards draw their weapons, but a few sultry fembot glances later, and they lower their guns and smile. One approaches the lead fembot. Two gun barrels extend from her bra top.
Start walking.
The guard's dead, the fembot blows smoke from her barrels.
Quite impressive.
Thank you, Herr Doktor.
I like to see girls of that caliber.
Dr. Evil laughs at his little joke and looks around for the response. There is none.
By caliber, of course, I mean both the size of their gun barrels and the high quality of their characters. Two meanings, caliber. It's a homonym.
Number two remains stony-faced.
Forget it.
Austin and Vanessa go into British makeshift headquarters.
At ease, boys.
Two army guards stand aside.
Austin, I want to show you something.
We're going to outfit you with this. It looks like a watch, but in fact, it's a geosynchronous positioning device.
Very shagadelic.
And then there's this.
Okay, let me guess. The floss is garrote wire. The toothpaste is plastic explosives, and the toothbrush is the detonation device.
No, actually. Well, since you've been frozen, there have been fabulous advances in the field of dentistry.
What do you mean?
Nothing. Oh, look, here's Basil.
Hello, exposition.
Austin, let me bring you up to speed. Dr. Evil has hijacked a nuclear warhead from Kreplakistan.
Only two things scare me, and one is nuclear war.
What's the other?
Excuse me?
What's the other thing that scares you?
Carnies.
What?
Circus folk. Nomads, you know. Smell like cabbage. Small hands.
Indeed.
Perhaps these photographs are the last piece of the puzzle.
Aha.
I've uncovered the details of Project Vulcan.
Oh, good God. An underground missile?
Austin, where did you find these?
Austin did some reconnaissance work last night at a lot of vaginas penthouse. Our next move is to infiltrate Virtucon. Any ideas?
Oh, yes. Virtucon runs a tour of its facility every hour. I thought perhaps we could disguise ourselves as tourists and do some on-site reconnaissance.
Top draw, Kensington. Oh, Austin, I'd like you to meet somebody.
An old lady.
This is my mother, Mrs. Exposition.
How do you do?
Austin!
His punch floors her.
God, man, what have you done?
That's not your mother, it's a man, baby!
Kneeling by her head, Austin yanks at her hair.
Wig, come on!
Austin!
Yeah, hold on.
No, Austin, my mother! Oh, mother. Mother, are you all right?
What? Austin, have you gone mad?
No.
You have a lot of explaining to do.
I'm sorry, Basil. I thought she was a man.
Damn it, man, you're talking about my mother.
Well, you have to admit, she is rather mannish.
Austin!
Well, no offense, but if that is a woman, it does look like she was beaten with an ugly stick.
What?
Really, Austin.
Pop star Austin is now a cross-legged Indian guru.
Okay, give in to the beauty of your feelings and say the words. Come on.
I love you, Dad. I love you too, son.
The tearful father and son hug. 10 more people sit around in the circle.
Okay, group, we have some newcomers here today with us. Say hello to Scott and his father, Mr. Avil?
Evil, actually.
He stares at her sternly.
Dr. Evil.
Hello, Dr. Evil. Hello, Scott.
Hello, everybody.
So, Scott, why don't we start with you? What brings you here with us today?
Well, I just really met my dad for the first time 5 days ago.
I was partially frozen his whole life.
That is beautiful that you can admit to that.
He comes back, and now he wants me to take over the family business.
But, Scott, who's going to take over the world when I die?
Listen to the words he used. Who's going to take over the world when I die? Feels like that to some of us sometimes, doesn't it? So, what do you want to do, Scott?
I don't know. I was thinking I like animals. Maybe I'd be a vet.
An evil vet?
No. Maybe like work in a petting zoo.
An evil petting zoo?
You always do that!
Dr. Evil gives a bemused shrug.
I just think like he hates me. I really think he wants to kill me.
Now, Scott, we don't want to kill each other in here. We might say that we do sometimes, but we really don't.
Actually, the boy's quite astute. I really am trying to kill him, but so far unsuccessfully. He's quite wily like his old man.
He smiles at Scott and then, realizing, becomes stern.
This is what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, we've heard from you, Scott. Now, you tell us a little about yourself.
The details of my life are quite inconsequential.
Oh, no, please. Let's hear about your childhood.
Yeah, okay. Come on.
Dr. Evil stands primly.
Very well. Where do I begin? My father was a relentlessly self-improving boulangerie owner from Belgium with low-grade narcolepsy and a penchant for buggery. My mother was a 15-year-old French prostitute named Chloe with webbed feet. My father would womanize, he would drink. He would make outrageous claims like he invented the question mark. Sometimes he would accuse chestnuts of being lazy, the sort of general malaise that only the genius possess and the insane lament. My childhood was typical. Summers in Rangoon, luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. When I was insolent, I was placed in a burlap bag and beaten with reeds. Pretty standard, really. At the age of 12, I received my first scribe. At the age of 14, a Zoroastrian named Vilma ritualistically shaved my testicles. There really is nothing like a shorn scrotum. It's breathtaking. I suggest you try it.
You know, we have to stop.
Night in Austin's suite.
Austin, can I have a word with you?
Of course you may, love.
She sits on the sofa next to him.
Look, I know I'm being neurotic, but I can't shake off this suspicious feeling about that Italian secretary. You know, Miss Vagina. I don't want to sound paranoid, but I've had some bad relationships in the past, and I have been known to be jealous. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry, baby. You're right to be suspicious. I shagged her.
What?
I shagged a rotten baby, yeah.
I can't believe you, Austin. I mean, she was repellent.
Saucer of milk table, too. Wow.
What, did you use protection?
Of course. I have my 9mm automatic.
You know I meant, did you use a condom?
Only sailors use condoms, baby.
Not in the 90s, Austin.
Well, they should, those filthy beggars. They go from port to port.
She gets up.
Well, Vanessa, don't have a thrombo. A lotta meant nothing to me.
Well, it means something to me. Austin, if you want us to have a relationship, you have to get it into your head that times have changed. You can't just go off shagging anybody anymore, and if you could, I wouldn't, because I'm not like that.
Vanessa.
She turns and stands in the bedroom doorway.
You're everything to me.
You just don't get it, do you?
Austin stares at her, hurt.
Good night, Austin. Welcome to the 90s. You're going to be very lonely.
She shuts the glass-paned doors and pulls across the door curtains. Austin opens the living room curtains and stares plaintively out at the city below. Now he drives the E-Type through the busy streets, lost in his thoughts. He sits in a bar in his blue crushed velvet suit. A group of 30-somethings looks across at him. He gives them a cheerful peace sign. His face saddens. Back at the suite, he's written a list titled, People I Know.
Jimi Hendrix, deceased, drugs. Janis Joplin, deceased, alcohol. Mama Cass, deceased, ham sandwich.
He crosses out the names. He opens a CD box, looking at the silver disc in some confusion, and places it on a turntable. Face contorted in pain, he fumbles at the needle. He examines a white pump-up basketball shoe, pressing the pump on the tongue and smiling. He watches videos. He stares incredulously as a huge crowd celebrate the destruction of the Berlin Wall.
Morning, Austin.
She sits beside him on the sofa.
You know, I sometimes forget you've missed out on the last 30 years. Fall of the Berlin Wall, first female British Prime Minister, end of apartheid.
Yeah, and I can't believe Liberace was gay. I mean, women loved him. I didn't see that one coming, no.
Inside Virchicon headquarters.
The tour is about to begin, so if you please take your seats.
An electric
Welcome
bus.
Welcome to Virchicon, company of the future. Virchicon is a leading manufacturer of many items you can find right in your very own home.
Do you think she's prettier than me?
Who?
You know who.
Oh, the Italian bird. No, baby, she's rancid. I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
We make steel, petroleum products, and volatile chemicals.
But don't worry about the Italian bird, okay? She's the village bicycle. Everyone's had a ride.
You're using a Virchicon product. On your right, you'll notice a door leading to a restricted area. Only authorized personnel are allowed.
I'll take
that
him.
Point.
You take her.
Two people in white coats leave the restricted area and go into toilets on either side. Austin, disguised as a sultan, and Vanessa as a cowgirl, creep to the toilet doors, look around, and then dash inside, emerging dressed in the coats.
Let's go.
They go through the restricted area door and into a long corridor, at the end of which sits a security guard.
Oh, look, it's a guard. What are we going to do? We don't look anything like our photo badges.
Don't worry, baby. I learned a mind control technique during my travels to India. I learned it from my guru, the late Guru Shastri, a chaste man who died mysteriously of a disease that had all the hallmarks of syphilis. All right, watch me.
Hi, folks. You're entering a restricted zone. I'm going to have to see some identification, please.
Sure.
They hand him their badges.
There seems to be some sort of problem.
Everything seems to be in order.
Austin moves his eyebrows up and down.
Everything seems to be in order.
That's fantastic, Austin. Come on, let's go.
I'm going to go across the street and get you some orange sherbet.
I'm going to go across the street and get you some orange sherbet.
Here, have a piece of gum.
Here, have a piece of gum.
Don't mind if I do.
Okay, Austin, let's go now.
The tour guide notices the empty seats.
It's Bolton. We've got a problem.
Intruders in the complex. Intruders in the complex.
Watch out!
They charge into a warehouse area, huge steamrollers being driven around. Austin karate chops one of the drivers and gets into the seat.
They're coming!
Hang on, I'm gonna floor it! Watch out! Move! Move! Move!
Two guards, pistols raised, stand in front of them.
Careful, Austin!
One leaps away, the other's rooted to the spot, about 10 meters in front.
Watch out!
Watch out!
The steamroller slowly lumbers towards the guard and squashes him. Now pastry's being rolled by a woman in her kitchen.
Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Harwin. Yes, my husband is a henchman in Dr. Evil's private army. What?
Oh my God! Thanks for calling.
A young boy comes in.
Hi, Mom.
Sit down, Billy. I've got some bad news. Your stepfather was run over by a steamroller.
But Mom, since Dad left, Steve's been like a father to me.
His face crumples as his mother puts loving arms around him.
People never think how things affect the family of a henchman.
Roll a testing room and into a corridor.
Oh, thank goodness we made it, Austin.
All right, stay very cool, baby.
Random tasks behind them. He knocks their heads together. A van drives along a dusty track towards Dr. Evil's underground lair. It drives through a concrete tunnel, the word VirtueCon emblazoned on its bonnet, and pulls onto the floor of a large assembly plant. Dr. Evil, stroking his still hairless cat, watches as Austin and Vanessa are roughly hauled out of the back, dressed in silver costumes.
Mr. Powers, welcome to my underground lair. You're just in time. Enjoy the show.
Dr. Evil climbs onto a platform where he clicks a remote control and the United Nations appears on a screen.
Gentlemen, I give you the Vulcan.
A towering drill.
The world's most powerful subterranean drill.
Does that make you horny?
Not now, Austin.
So powerful it can penetrate the Earth's crust, delivering a 50 kiloton nuclear warhead deep into the liquid hot core of the planet. Upon detonation, every volcano on Earth will erupt.
The UN delegates stare in panic at their screens.
It seems we have no choice but to pay your ransom.
You have my instructions. Bye-bye.
He presses the remote, putting on Beavis and Butthead.
Check it out, Butthead. This chick has three boobs.
How many butts does she have?
Dr. Evil reappears, fiddling with the remote. In the conference room, lunch is served.
Do you like your quasi-futuristic clothes, Mr. Powers? I designed them myself.
Austin sits at the table in a silver tunic. Dr. Evil sits down, and his chair gently reels backwards across the room. Random Task stops it and wheels it back to the head of the table, trapping Dr. Evil's hand. Scott comes in.
Scott! Scott, my boy, how are you? How was your day?
Well, my friend Sweet Jay took me to that video arcade in town, right? And they don't speak English there, so Jay got into a fight, and he's all, hey, quit hassling me because I don't speak French or whatever. And then the guy says something in Paris talk, and I'm like, just back off. And they're all, get out. And we're like, make me. That's cool.
Fascinating. What are your plans for this evening?
I thought I'd stay in. There's a good titty movie on Skinamax.
And that's how you'd like to live your life, is it?
Yeah.
Austin nods in agreement. His hand hovers over a button marked Scott. Frau Bissner whacks his hand with a horsewhip.
Scott! I want you to meet Daddy's nemesis, Austin Powers.
What, are you feeding him? Why don't you just kill him?
No, Scott, I have an even better idea. I'm going to place him in an easily escapable situation involving an overly elaborate and exotic death.
Austin and Vanessa are led away.
Why don't you just shoot him now? I mean, I'll go get a gun. We'll shoot them together. It'll be fun. Bang! Dead. Done.
One more peep out of you, and you are grounded, mister, and I am not joking.
Scott goes to speak, but stops under his father's glare.
All right, let's begin.
Dr. Evil, do you really expect them to pay?
No, Mr. Powers. I expect them to die.
Sliding doors part.
Even after they pay me the money, I'm still gonna melt every city on the planet with liquid hot magma.
Austin and Vanessa are led through the doors into a cavern.
Release the sharks!
Mr. Powers, you'll notice that all of the sharks have laser beams attached to their heads. I figure every creature deserves a warm meal.
They climb onto a podium above a pool.
Dr. Evil, it's about the sharks. When you were frozen, they were put on the endangered species list. We tried to get some, but it would have taken months to clear up the red tape.
You know, I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads. Now, evidently, my cycloptic colleague informs me that that can't be done. Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here. What do we have?
Sea bass.
Dr. Evil glares at number two in disbelief.
Right.
They are mutated sea bass.
Really? Are they ill-tempered?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a start. All right, guard, begin the unnecessarily slow-moving dipping mechanism.
The podium descends.
Close the tank!
The doors slide shut.
Wait, aren't you even going to watch them? They could get away.
No. I'm going to leave them alone and not actually witness them dying. I'm just going to assume it all went to plan. What?
I have a gun in my room. You give me 5 seconds, I'll get it. I'll come back down here. Boom! I'll blow their brains out.
Scott, you just don't get it, do you? You don't.
It's no hassle. But I'm... All I'm saying... They're gonna get away... I'm just... We...
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Look, let me tell you a little story about a man named...
Even before you start, that was a preemptive shh. Just know I have a whole bag of shh with your name on it.
In the cavern, fish leap out of the water as the podium sinks lower.
What's your plan?
First, I plan to soil myself. Then I'm going to regroup and come up with a new plan. Any thoughts?
Wait a minute.
She pulls out a box of dental floss.
I always have this with me, just in case.
Okay, I get it. I have bad teeth.
No, Austin. The floss is to swing ourselves onto the ledge.
Oh. All right, hold on.
He throws the floss box over a pipe.
Got it. Okay. Toothpaste. Hello.
She hands him the tube and he takes aim at the guard.
Juno chop!
The guard's hit in the eye. Grabbing the floss, they swing across the pond, landing on a ledge by a door. Austin grabs the guard, throwing him against the wall. Getting him to the ground, Austin holds him headfirst into the water, boiling with fish. Austin pulls him out of the water, the head chewed off.
Not a good time to lose one's head.
Oh, indeed.
That's not the way to get ahead in life.
No.
It's a shame he wasn't more headstrong. He'll never be the head of a major corporation.
Okay, that'll do.
Okay.
They go out through the door. The identity badge on the body reads John Smith. In a lively Hooters bar, a group of seven men drink bottled beer.
I mean, guys, come on. Can you believe John Smith is getting married tomorrow?
I can't. Where is Smitty anyway? It's not like him to be late for anything, especially his own stag party.
Well, you know, he works as a henchman for Dr. Evil. Sometimes they work late. You know, can I just say something that may sound a little sappy? I think it is such a tribute to our buddy John Smith. So many of his friends showed up to honor him today. There's a lot of love in this room.
Here, here.
A waitress approaches the group.
Hi. Hey. I have a phone call for the John Smith party.
Yeah, I'll get it.
The man shrugs and goes to the phone.
He's dead? Decapitated by an ill-tempered mutated sea bass? Yes. Okay.
What's wrong? What happened? Was that John? Is he coming late?
The traumatized man faces the group.
John Smith won't be coming.
Why not?
He was decapitated by an ill-tempered mutated sea bass.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
To Smitty.
Vanessa and Austin ride a cart down a corridor and stop at Bollard's.
No, what are we gonna do? Oh, look, there's an emergency exit. Go get help. I'm gonna stay here and keep an eye on Dr. Evil.
Okay, I'll hurry back.
She runs off in her silver mini dress.
Listen, Vanessa. Whatever happens, I want you to know that I feel really bad about that Italian bird.
She smiles, flattered.
What I'm trying to say is that if you want me to be a one-woman man, well, that's just groovy, baby.
Behave.
She climbs up a stepladder. Austin watches her from below, grinning. He shakes his head and gets back into the cart. Sitting at the controls, he drives forward a fraction and then reverses in an attempt at a three-point turn in the narrow corridor. Concentrating hard, he continues with this futile maneuver. Seemingly giving up, he straightens out again and then tries the three-point turn in the other direction. Dr. Evil's drinking coffee.
Come, everyone. Let us prepare to the main chamber. Project Vulcan is about to begin.
He puts his finger to his mouth. Scott flicks a sugar cube.
Scott, don't you want to see what Daddy does for a living?
Blow me.
Excuse me?
Show me.
Okay.
Austin now has the cart firmly wedged across the corridor. In the main chamber,
position the Vulcan.
The Vulcan drill is being craned across the huge room. Dr. Evil wears a protective clear plastic suit, complete with helmet over his grey tunic suit. He desperately tries to find a pose that makes him look superior and in charge, without success.
Bring in the warhead!
The warhead, on a little cart, is driven over to the drill. Dr. Evil goes to put his finger to his shielded mouth and decides against it. Austin prizes open huge sliding doors. The closing doors pinch his backside. Austin watches as a revolving stage starts to turn, revealing a posse of fembots clad in pink, fur-trimmed negligees. Two somersault towards him. He looks at them in melting admiration.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Mr. Powers.
Hello, Mr. Powers.
Hello, Mr. Powers.
Care to have a little fun?
Care to have a little fun?
No, actually, I have to save the world.
One lands on his shoulders, her negligee making a fetching pink hood, which he lifts back. Two tubes slide out of the lead fembot's fur-clad breasts.
Is it cold in here?
White smoke pours from the tubes as it clears. Austin's revealed, his glasses askew, under their spell. Back in the main chamber, the Vulcan drill's being tilted, drill bit pointing upwards.
Arm the probe!
A round door at the back of the drill is opened, and the green conical warhead is inserted. Dr. Evil attempts to sit on a chair, but slides off it. He stands up quickly, trying to pretend that nothing's happened. Austin's now lying on a bed surrounded by adoring fembots.
No! 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 I've got to get Dr. Evil! I've got to get Dr. Evil! Baseball, cold showers.
Give it up, Mr. Powers.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day! Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day!
Gentlemen?
At headquarters, Vanessa, in standard-issue black leather catsuit, addresses commandos.
Let's lock and load!
Right, lads! All right!
Austin escapes from the fembot's attention and runs to the door.
You can't resist us, Mr. Powers. You can't resist,
which is blocked by two other fembots.
Au contraire, baby. I think you can't resist me.
He dances. The fembots stand and stare as he shakes, shimmies and grooves. He counts them, seven, and then produces seven cigarettes from his hand, which he lights all at once in his mouth. Taking them out of his mouth, he throws them expertly into the fembots' mouths, each smoking projectile reaching its target spot on, and the right way round. He undoes his silver top and removes it, revealing his thick, hairy chest. Turning round, he rips off his trousers, revealing a pair of red briefs, a Union Jack splayed across his buttocks. The fembot's heads start to shake uncontrollably. He thrusts his pelvis in their direction, causing further bouts of electrical convulsions and severe overheating. One catches fire. He pats his bottom, sending the fembots into terminal meltdown. The last one appears more resilient. He licks his fingers and rubs his nipples. The door behind him slides open. Vanessa looks in perplexed as Austin continues shaking his tush, his back to her, lifeless fembots in front of him.
Austin?
Vanessa, it's not what it seems.
Two commandos salute.
At ease, boys.
Likewise.
He looks down.
Vanessa, I can explain. See, what happened was I broke in trying to get to Dr. Evil, and then all of a sudden the fembots came by and smoke started to come out of the jumblies. So I thought I'd work my mojo, right? So we counter their mojo. We got cross mojinations and their heads started to explode. You know, that thing. And I ended up in my knickers here and then...
Okay, Austin, I believe you. I get dressed.
Smashing, baby.
She throws a hold on.
Forward, boys!
She runs out, followed by one commando, the other gazing at Austin. She yanks him away.
Launching the subterranean probe.
The drill starts up, its phallic shape now pointing downwards.
Begin initial surface penetration.
The drill starts to move downwards.
Subterranean nuclear detonation in 3 minutes and counting.
On screen, a cutaway diagram of the Earth shows its progress as the underground lair starts to rock and shake. A huge explosion rips through a door. The now blue-suited Austin dashes through the hole, pistol drawn.
There's a man who leads a life of danger.
Chaos reigns as Vanessa and the commandos follow him, firing at will, guards plummeting off high-level walkways. Austin fires at Dr. Evil, who trots back and forth along a gangway trying to avoid the bullets. He falls.
I tripped.
He gets to a door.
Open the frickin' door!
The door opens and Dr. Evil escapes. Meanwhile, Austin charges upstairs, swiping at guards. Austin looks nervously over a button with a large sign reading, Abort.
Two, one.
He leaps for the button. Just reaching it in time.
Abort! Abort!
There's cheering at the UN as the delegates watch the progress screen flash, abort.
Now to Dr. Evil.
Austin grabs a machine
ding,
gun.
Ding.
A bag of cat food.
I want chicken, I want liver, meow mix, please deliver.
Austin comes
I've
in.
I've got you now, Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil puts up his hands.
Well done, Mr. Powers. We're not so different, you and I. However, isn't it ironic that the very things that you stand for, free love, swinging, parties, are all now in the 90s considered to be...
He lifts his little finger to his mouth.
Before? No, man, what we swingers were rebelling against is uptight squares like you, whose bag was money and world domination. We were innocent, man. If we'd known the consequences of our sexual liberation, we would have done things differently, but the spirit would have remained the same. It's freedom, baby, yeah! Face it. Freedom failed. No, man, freedom didn't fail. Right now, we've got freedom and responsibility. It's a very groovy time. There's nothing more pathetic than an aging hipster. All right, Baldy, shut your cake hole. Come on, let's go, on your bike.
A lot has got Vanessa.
Not so fast!
It seems the tables have turned, Mr. Powers.
Go ahead, Austin! Don't worry about me!
Hey, I can take my Sega, right, Dad?
Austin grabs Scott.
It seems the tables have turned again, Dr. Evil.
Not really. Kill the little bastard. See what I care.
But, Dad, we just had a breakthrough in group.
I had the group liquidated, you little shit. They were insolent.
I hate you. I hate you. I wish I was never artificially created in a lab.
Oh, Scott, that hurts, Daddy, when you say that, honestly.
Scott breaks free.
Ah, number two. Your timing is impeccable. Go ahead, take Mr. Powers away.
No.
What?
Dr. Evil, I spent 30 years of my life turning this two-bit evil empire into a world-class multinational. I was going to have a cover story in Forbes. But you, like an idiot, wanted to take over the world. And you don't realize there is no world anymore. It's only corporations.
Silence, number two!
No!
I've had enough of you pushing me around!
Mr. Powers, I have a business proposition you might find very interesting.
Number two sits on a chair at the table.
All right, I've had enough.
He presses a button.
Judo!
Vanessa floors a lotter. Dr. Evil presses a button.
Complex will self-destruct.
Austin fires as the door opens and Dr. Evil races into the egg-shaped escape pod.
Run, split, let's go!
The pod lifts into the air.
This place is gonna blow!
Outside, the big boy rocket lifts off. Inside, panic ensues. Running along a corridor, Austin meets the hypnotized security guard.
I brought you your orange sherbet.
Thank you.
Austin takes the tub of sorbet and dashes off.
Complex will self-destruct.
A countdown clock reads 16 seconds.
Come on, let's go!
Austin and Vanessa climb a stepladder marked emergency
Complex
exit.
Complex will self-destruct.
Austin!
Come on, baby, it's gonna blow, let's go!
Outside, Austin somersaults into the E-Type. Missing the seat and landing on the gear stick. A huge fireball erupts from the desert behind them. 3 months later, Austin and Vanessa are in bed in a hotel suite, wedding clothes strewn across the room.
Oh, yeah.
I love you, Mr. Powers.
And I love you, Mrs. Powers.
Austin's new teeth sparkle.
Oh, that'll be Basil Exposition.
Oh, ignore it, Austin. Come back to bed.
Duty calls, baby.
Naked, he sits on the sofa in front of the electronic organizer.
Hello, Austin. Oh, I hope I'm not interrupting your honeymoon.
No, not at all, Basil.
Did you get that fruit basket I sent you?
Yes, we did, Basil, but you sent too much. I'm going to have to send some to my mother.
She covers her breasts with pineapples.
Don't forget these.
Oh, thanks.
There you go.
Now two melons.
Did you get my other gift?
We did.
Spice rack.
Yes, Basil. Nice rack. But who in the world gave us this drawing?
Of breasts.
Well, as you know, Dr. Evil has escaped in his rocket, which has disappeared from our tracking system.
Oh, dear. Hold on. Coffee?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, thank you.
She hands him a gift.
Oh, and Vanessa, by the way, you have been made a full agent.
Oh, that's fantastic, Basil. Thanks.
Milk?
Yes, please.
Count Austin, Her Majesty the Queen informs me that you are to be knighted.
Very shagadelic.
Well, the best of luck to both of you. I can't believe that you're married, Austin. Oh, what a lovely pair.
Thanks, Basil. Think I'm going to like living in the 90s. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You know, Vanessa, I'll never forget the first time I saw you. You were so incredibly beautiful.
She blows up a long balloon.
So incredibly sexy.
In front of his crotch.
I knew I had to have you.
The balloon rises.
Right then and there. Did you feel the same way?
Actually, I couldn't stop staring at your teeth.
Oh. Oh, I ordered some champagne. Come in!
Oh, lovely, Austin.
Right over there is fine. Thank you.
Let's go out on the terrace. It's a beautiful night. We can look at the stars.
Smashing idea, baby.
Yeah. A food cover's lifted, revealing a black shoe in a bed of spinach. It's random task. The spinning shoe hits Austin on the head.
That really hurt. I'm gonna have a lump there, you idiot. Who throws a shoe? Honestly. You fight like a woman.
Random task steps towards him. Austin puts his hands in the air and moves in, karate style. Random task grabs him by his throat. Next to him, a heap of useful implements, each of which he manages to knock off. A candlestick, a poker, a heavy ashtray. She chucks him the penis enlarger.
Honestly, it's not mine!
No, use it!
Austin shoves it into Random Task's crotch and begins to pump furiously. Vanessa smashes bottles over his head. He falls to the floor, a smile on his face.
Smashing.
Random task now on a trolley. Austin pushes him out the door, enlarger still firmly attached. Austin and Vanessa go out onto the balcony.
Look how beautiful the night sky is.
Hey, isn't that the Big Dipper?
Yeah, and that looks just like Uranus.
Austin.
Well, you know.
Hey, I've never seen that big star before.
Yeah, what is that?
Austin gets out a telescope.
Good God.
It's the big boy rocket in orbit. Inside, Dr. Evil sits, icicles hanging off him.
I'm gonna get you, Austin Powers. It's frickin' freezing in here, Mr. Bigglesworth.
The end. ITFC audio description by Mark Leavesley.
Austin Powers, he's the man for you. Austin Powers.
Darling, you look fabulous. All right, there we go. Look at that face.
Coming in, come on.
Bit of hair.
Huh?
Smashing. Okay, it's coming round now. Coming round. Yes, great. Yes.
No, it's not working.
You can go change. There you go. Can you change it?
Is that okay? Is that all right?
Very good. Right here. Looking right there. I'm not even looking. Oh, you're wicked. You got your mojo working overtime, darling.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not even shooting it. It's insane. Smashing. Come on, can I get a smile? Okay, come on. Come on, you boys, get together, come on. Okay, good. Loving it. Let's make a Vanessa sandwich.
You're wearing horns.
Come on, Austin, give it to me. Go. Oh, behave. Okay, you're an animal. An animal. Yes. Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Just the top of the hair, that's all I want.
Born and shoot.
Again, try it one more time, and I'm born and shoot.
That's it, yeah.
Let's go, come on. Ignore this. Ignore me doing this. Fabulous, darling. Go.
Lord.
Yes. Okay, show me eyes. Yes. No! Never get and I'm sprint.
What say you, we go out in the town and
swing, baby, yeah!
Mrs. Will ya? Made me tea, made love to me, put on the telly, to the BBC, yeah.
BBC One, BBC Two, BBC Three, BBC Four, BBC Five, BBC Six, BBC Seven, BBC Heaven.
Mrs. William. Made me tea, made love to me, put on the telly, to the BBC, Made me tea, made love to me, put on the telly, to the BBC,
BBC 1, BBC 2, BBC 3, BBC 4, BBC 5, BBC 6, BBC 7, BBC 8,
BBC Peace.